Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. All right, everybody, y'all please be seated. We'll go ahead and get started. Would y'all welcome Adam Smith and Adult and Teen Challenge.
Good morning. How's everybody doing?
Good
morning. Well, first of all, I just want to thank you all for letting us come and share. Pastor Cal, Second Mile, y'all have been such a great blessing to our ministry. Ever since we first opened up our center here about almost five years ago this summer. You know, it's these days there is such a great need for a ministry like Adult and Teen Challenge. I think all of us have probably been affected by the drug epidemic. There's so many lost souls out there that need Jesus in their life. Many of them, just like me, when I came through these doors, didn't even know the great need I had for Jesus in my life. I didn't know I needed him. I thought I had it all figured out, even though I kept falling on my face time and time again, kept ending up incarcerated, kept ending up with broken relationships with my family. I didn't think there was any way out. I just accepted it. I just rolled over. I'd given up. I was living in defeat. I was living for the adversary. All these things I had just accepted. Thankfully, I got offered the opportunity to come to Adult and Teen Challenge, and I denied it twice, two times. I said, I'd rather go to jail. That's how poor of a state I was living in, how defeated I was, that I'd rather surround myself with a lot of the same people that I was and continue to live in that state. Finally, the third time came around, and I was so tired, I was so broken, I was so hopeless. I said, there's got to be a better way. Little did I know, the Lord had me at that time. He had me. He was pulling me through that poor decision-making, that poor thought processes, the sinful lifestyle. He was dragging me out of that to a place, Adult and Teen Challenge, a place where I was safe, a place where I was removed from my sinful nature, my sinful desire, because I couldn't attain those things. I was in a place of structure, in a place where people cared about me and loved me, people just like you. I remember when I came in this program kneeling at this altar right here and praying out to the Lord and asking him, Lord, please do something. Do something with this broken soul, this broken vessel. Change and rearrange me. And he was faithful. He was faithful, and he's continuing to be faithful to me, and he's continuing to be faithful to every man who humbly comes to the throne and just asks for help. And that's what each one of these men are doing. Before we get much further, I'm going to have the guys come up, sing a couple songs. We're fortunate enough to have Dwight Dixon, like Cal mentioned. He comes every Wednesday faithfully, strums his ukulele and sings with the men, testifies, sheds a few tears from time to time. Dwight's got a great heart, so if you'll welcome the guys up. Well, that was a treat. I don't know anything that warms my heart more than seeing strong young men that are willing to come up here humbly, worship the Lord, spend time in fellowship. It's a great honor to have them here today, and I really appreciate y'all having us. You know, I actually just arrived back here in the States. For the last week, I was been in Costa Rica doing some missionary work down at the Sin Cell Missionary School. I don't know if anybody's familiar with that, but it's a wonderful organization. It's the main headquarters for the Latin American Missionary Training Center. So all throughout Latin America, all through South America, Spain, and somewhere else. But either way, they have teams of missionaries come down there for 9 to 12 months and learn the language, learn the culture, wherever they're going to be deployed. And keep a long story short, I was talking to the directors there, and they were talking about the great mission at hand and how vital that center is for the work that they're doing. And I was reflecting back, and as I was on my way back here to the States, I was thinking about Adult and Teen Challenge and that mission work that we're doing here in the States. This is imperative that we have a place where the lost can come and be set free. Be set free with the saving power of Jesus Christ. I know I couldn't do it on my own. I couldn't have done it out there in the world. I couldn't have even done it if I went to church with the way that in the state that I was in, out there living in sin. I wouldn't have been able to do it. I needed this place. I needed what Adult and Teen Challenge could offer me. I needed what God was doing in this place to help give me a way to set me free. And that's what he's doing for each one of these men. You know, we do a lot of different things to help these men go through this process of change and learn the value of serving, of mission work, and so they can be strong and go back out there in the world and make disciples themselves. So I want to invite up my Dean of Men, Elijah. He's going to talk to you a little bit about a mission trip that we do every year to the IYC Indian Youth Camp. And I can sit here and talk as much as I want about it. But Elijah's been there. I haven't had the chance yet. But Elijah's been there. And he's got a great testimony. It's a powerful place where God is doing a great work with Native American Indian children who struggle in their communities and get 1 week to come and just worship the Lord, spend time with him, and be healed. Be healed. Elijah, round of applause.
All right, how about we give an even louder round of applause for the Lord? How about that? Run it up one time for the Lord. All right, all right, all right. So I'm going to say a quick prayer because I got to get vulnerable with you guys. You know, my pride will get in the way. How I think y'all see me will get in the way. I don't know why that happens, but it does. So I'm going to go to the Lord first. Father, I'm thankful that you do love me. Like my brother Dwight said, Jesus loves me, this I know. And Father, you know that I went through the majority of my life believing that I wasn't loved. And I was willing to go wherever and do whatever to receive some form of acceptance, some form of praise. And I was getting all the right things from the wrong people in the wrong places. So give me the strength now, Father, to be courageous, to be bold, to be transparent, to be honest, to bring you honor and glory. Amen. All right, so just something real brief about my childhood the Lord is wanting me to bring up to tell you guys is from the ages of about 4 to 15, I suffered every kind of abuse you can imagine. Now, I'm just going to leave that open for interpretation. And whatever you thought, it happened to me. Things that shouldn't happen to anyone, let alone the innocent, the adolescent, happened to me, okay? And I didn't have a place where I could go and experience good fellowship. I didn't have a place where I could go and experience the Lord. I didn't have a place, insert whatever you want to insert. I had a place where I was going to experience hell in a home. That was my norm. And if that was my norm, I know statistically, I know that's the norm compounded even more so for Native American children. Life on the res, it ain't easy, and that's an understatement. I mean, they are subject to and they witness domestic violence, suicide, addiction, murder. It's regular. It's regular and it's normal. And these are happening to everyone, especially these kids. So every year in Hungry Horse, Montana, they put on this camp where these kids can go and they can be kids, right? And that might not seem like a big deal. Or that might be like something that's kind of commonplace. You know, your kids are in a safe place. They can watch whatever on YouTube, do whatever they want to do. It's not the case. It's not the case with these kids. So they give them a safe place where they can go. They can do outdoor activities. They have fun. And then at the end of every day, they get an opportunity to encounter the risen Savior. They get an opportunity to encounter Christ. And I'll tell you, when I was there, you know, sometimes, you know, I don't know what it is. That's why I prayed that, you know, God, give me the courage to be vulnerable. Give me the courage to be real. You know, when you see these kids have real encounters, they're not making this stuff up. They're asking real hard questions. They're really getting touched. You see people get set free. It changed my life, changed everything. It changed the way I looked at God. He brought up some stuff from my past. I was like, why couldn't I experience you like this when I was younger? And then he showed me that he had been there the whole way. The only reason that I was able to be where I'm at today was because he was there with me the whole time. The whole time. And seeing those kids get set free, man, it's priceless. It's priceless, man. So, you know, typically I'm not at a loss for words. Usually I got a lot to say. Typically I'm really outspoken, but you can't put it into words. Freedom and safety is what is offered to those kids. And then the kids who get taken advantage of, the kids who don't know what freedom or safety is, the kids who don't know what real friends, real Christ, real is, they get to experience it. They get a taste of it, and they get to carry that out. And they get to come back. They get to take what they got there with them for the rest of their life so that way they can have a new and changed life. We got a couple of people who are going on this mission trip. I'm going to segue quickly to get this attention off of me. Yeah. Let me get Brother Christian up here. Come on. Let me get Brother Mason up here. Let me get Brother Jerry up here. All right. Now, out of this group of people, actually, Christian is the only one who's going. But these guys are being sent out to go on a mission trip of their own, right? You think you got to go across the country. You think you got to go 1,000 miles away to go do the work of the Father, and that's just not true. Mission work is the person to your right, the person to your left. You know, do what he would have you do when he tells you to do it. The world is dark, dying, and lost, and it needs more people to be less like themselves and more like him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is... All right, so we all know what we're talking about. All right, that new creation, that's what we're looking at here. Each one of these individuals here. So, Jerry, this is his first time giving a testimony to a big crowd, so y'all be nice. Y'all be nice. But he wanted to go first. He wanted to be brave. He wanted to be bold. He wanted to be transparent. And he wanted to talk about what the Lord has done for him. So the time is now, brother.
Amen. Let's do this. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure to be standing here with y'all. And first of all, happy Mother's Day, ladies. Let us go and Lord in prayer. I need that prayer right now. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Lord. Dude, I want to thank you, Lord, for blessing me and giving me this grateful opportunity to be standing here, giving my story of my negative past lifestyle. Dear Lord, this is a day that you has made. And Lord, let us all rejoice and be glad in this day. Grateful for this day, the Lord. The Lord, right now, the Lord, I need you to fill me up. Fill your house up here, the Lord, as I stand here among your children, the Lord, giving my story of the transformation that you done put upon me, the Lord. I want to thank you, the Lord. Just touch me and just speak to me, the Lord, at this time. I need you, and I need you now. Amen. Church, you know, life can be a battlefield. Yeah. Battlefield in your own mind. I grew up, first of all, you know, my name is Jerry, and I grew up in Memphis, Tennessee. I'll be 52 years old on the 26th of this month. To be honest, I grew up in a very abusive, abusive household. As far as my dad was an alcoholic. He made his own liquor. Jealous dad, I mean. When I say abusive, whatever he put his hands on, that's what we got beat up with. Not only me, but the rest of my brother and sister. My mom didn't have a chance. But one particular day, about 13, he came in with his negative attitude and wanted to beat the whole house up. But no, you know, me and my little brother intervened. I mean, he would beat my mom so bad. We didn't know to run or what. But me and my little brother intervened on him. And when I tell you, he got a hold of me and my little brother, he beat us like we was grown. I mean, he really did. I couldn't recognize my mom's face. But my mom got tired, and she cut his throat in front of all of us, which he didn't pay it, but. And my mom took all of us with her when they got back from the hospital. How can my mom take care of everyone out of 18 years old? It's 12 of us, 5 sisters and 7 boys. So how can my mom take care of us, everybody under 18, with welfare? So at the age of 13, I had to make a choice to provide for mom and go to school as well. But that was a choice that I made. And it was the wrong choice. But I took care of mom by any means necessary. So I started running the streets, dealing drugs, trying to go to school. But by the age of 15, I got caught up in gang activities. And that's really expanded, leaning on my own understanding then. So I started robbing drug dealers, going from city to city. Me and my best friend, my true best friend. So by the age of 16, I'm caught up in gang, but that's where I got my love from. I didn't have no childhood life. I didn't have no teenage life. I really don't know what being a man is today. And I'm learning this, going through this program here with these brothers here. Amen. Yeah, amen. So by the age of 16, I was wanted. Murder with intent to commit robbery. My best friend got caught and took the charge for me. They executed him on the 2015, they executed him. But I ended up still getting caught at age 16. I got 16 years, which I served 8.5 years. And like I say, childhood life, teenage life, I don't know. I don't know how to be a father, but I got a 32-year-old daughter today. But she's been with me the whole time. My mom passed in 07. My so-called dad passed in 08 in his sleep. My baby mama passed in 2013. So what is life for me? I don't know. Jail and gang activity really raised me. But I got my GED in jail. But thank you. It's kind of hard sitting up here telling this story because it still hurts today. And right now I'm trying to forgive myself. I'm trying to forgive the ones I hurt. And it's hard. But after my baby mama passed, life really hit me real bad. I got more into the streets. I got a career in cooking. I got my food serving license, my cooking license. That's my passion. But the streets got the best of me. And I found out I was on a run, and I got out, and the guy had still had that hit out on me. I got caught up with my daughter, because I got shot twice in the back, saving her, and got ran over by a car. And my daughter, she blessed me with 3 grandbabies. But I had to let her move on with her life, because I didn't want her to get caught up in mine. But I bet you she's still with me today. But I was still running the street. I lost everything. I put my mom in a house, got my own place. But I lost it because I was so wrapped up in the streets. So I was running, bouncing around, looking over my shoulder, looking everywhere. I couldn't go to the store without mine. There's this guy here coming up behind me again, or what? So I started bouncing around, staying with my daughter or one of my relatives, or at a shelter in Memphis. But I was calling on God the whole time. But more I called on him, the more I ran from him. And he was trying to catch up with me, but I'm running from him. But one particular day, March 23rd of this year, I was trying to decide what I want to do. Go back to Nashville. I stayed in Nashville for a while because I was lost in my own thoughts, trying to find myself again. I said, Lord, man, I'm 52 years old and Still don't know what being a man like. Still don't know being holding a foundation down. You know, being a good dad. Giving quality time with my daughter and grandkids. Giving intimacy time with my baby mama before she passed. I didn't know what was that about. What is a teenage life? What is a childhood life? I got my love and affections from the streets. Caught up with the guys in gang activity. Still doing childish things, but I'm 50 years old. Still running around the street like I'm 16 years old. But God guided me. God directed my path. Amen. He caught on to my own. He said, no, let me direct your path. Lean on my understanding. And I ran into the guys in Teen Challenge one day. They were on an outreach. I didn't know. I didn't know nothing about the place. And I used to pass the place every day. You know, I thought it was a teenager, in which I am still a teenager. You know? Let the truth be told. I really still am thinking like a child. You know? But they talked to me. And they gave me the rules, you know, how it's going to be, this and that. I jumped on it. I didn't know nothing about it. I said, okay, this is God doing it. And they brought me straight here, March 23rd, the same day they brought me to Clark. I said, no, you're going to stay in Memphis. Because they knew I wasn't going to last long in Memphis. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to stay at that place, but I was still in Memphis. But I found myself here in Clarksville. Yeah. I can tell my story. I have peace with myself now. I can get up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, man, I'm proud of you, a handsome man now.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
I can say that now, you know. But, thank you. But my daughter gave me this verse, and it's been still with me. It's been with me for over 30-some years now. And that's Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path.
Yeah.
He's doing that right today for me.
Yeah.
You know. I can say, I know what it feels like to taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. I gave my life to God. I've been baptized since I've been here in Clarksville. And I know, like Jeremiah 29:11 say, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And that's what I'm standing on today. Thank you.
Amen. Yeah. You can't top that, brother. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for letting me come share my testimony with these people. Thank you for loving me when I couldn't love myself. And just thank you for being a part of my life today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
My name is Mason Panos. I was born in New Bern, North Carolina, May 27th, 1993. I'm 30 years old, but I grew up right down the road in Franklin, Tennessee. I grew up with my grandparents and my mother. Both my grandfathers retired from the Marine Corps, so there was structure, but there was also, they let me get away with a lot more, I guess because my dad wasn't there. My father was an alcoholic, and he died from alcoholism. And growing up, so my role models, well, the male role models was my grandfather, and he was very old, and my brother, who's 9 years older than me, and I wanted to be everywhere my brother went. And so I seen a lot of things and did a lot of things, and led to my using and stuff like that. I can't, ultimately it was my option, but, you know, it was put there in front of me, so. Before coming to this program, I was nothing. I was just living for the devil. I've always been a hard worker, but that means I'm either hard working for the Lord or hard working for the enemy. I was physically dependent on substance, and I was going to do what I had to do to get that substance. Coming to this program, I was 130 pounds. I was shaking, still physically dependent on substances. And today that desire and the obsession is just gone, and it wouldn't be gone if it wasn't for this program. By the way, I'm probably going to get emotional up here. But, hey, it's tears of joy today. The whole time I was out there, I was just looking to fill that void. And the further I'd go, the deeper I'd get. And there wasn't no way out. Or the devil told me there wasn't no way out. I grew up in a church. Mom had me in church Monday, Wednesday, and Sunday. But there wasn't, I guess I didn't have faith or belief. I was just drug along. And the sin was appealing. It was like a credit card. And but today I know what the right thing to do is. There was conviction. I knew when I was out there living wrong that it wasn't right. So thank God I stuck around long enough. They say stick around till the miracle happens. Yeah. And the miracle happened here for me. Yeah. I would not be up here in front of y'all. I know that. the best thing that I've experienced since I've been here is two weeks ago, my mother come in, cried, thanking Jesus because her son's back.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
That's the same woman that, you know, when I was actively in drugs, already paid for mine and my brother's cremation because she didn't think we was going to make it.
Yeah. Come on.
So I thank God for being a part of my life today. I know I can't do it without him. And I thank y'all for coming and sharing my testimony. Yeah. And the scripture I have for y'all is James 4, 7, and 8. Submit yourselves and then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee for you. Come near to God and he'll come near to you. Wash your hands, your sinners. Purify your hearts, you're double-minded.
Yeah. 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 Man. Man, that bar got set real high for me. Woo. Well, if y'all wouldn't mind, can we do another prayer?
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you to just ask you to let the Holy Spirit just reside in me and just let him flow out of me as I give this testimony. And just let it not be for me, but be for you and reach some people that might need you today. And we just want to praise you in your glorious name and thank you for giving your son to save ourselves. In your name, amen.
Amen.
My name is Christian Strickland. I'm born and raised from Hopkinsville, Kentucky. It all really started when I was 5 years old, is when my mental problems really started coming out and when I had to start seeking into therapists and stuff. And I didn't know what was going on with me. I thought I was just a normal child until when I got about around 9 and I kind of noticed how everybody else acting and I'm just running off the walls, just snapping off in anger. And then it really wasn't until I was about 11 when I realized I spent most of all my childhood at that point being locked up in a mental hospital institute or just gone somewhere. I didn't have much of a childhood. It wasn't until I was 15 till I decided to change a little bit, to quit, you know, I don't know what I did, but I just wasn't going to mental institutes like that. I didn't have a childhood. My childhood was gone. Wasn't until I was 18 when I looked at my mom and I said, I'm gone. I no longer want to live underneath your house, underneath your rules. I'm grown. You can't tell me what to do. So I went and lived on the streets and did my own thing. If there wasn't one sin I committed them all. Broke every last one of them. Because I grew up knowing about God, but I didn't know God. I knew the enemy. I knew him very well. That was, I guess you could say, was my best friend. But I thought I knew God, and I was like, well, I can commit these sins today. Then by tomorrow, just ask for forgiveness, I'd be all right. And then I just do that again as I please and as I wanted. Well, when I turned 24, that's when I started getting deeper into sin, and I could realize how far down you can go. And anytime I thought I could dig myself out, I wasn't doing nothing but just digging in a different spot, going deeper. It wasn't until I turned about 29, well, really about 27 when I got married. And I started going to church, got saved. And everything was going good. I had my own car. I was paying bills, had insurance. One of the things I never had was car insurance. Everything was going great. And then when life started kind of just applying its pressure down on me, did I really start feeling that weight? I start backing out of church. I started backing away from the Lord. And then, and thus doing that, I started coming up short on rent. Wasn't being able to afford car insurance, so I just let that go. And everything just, and before I knew it, before I could make ends meet or even buy diapers for my daughter, I turned back to what I knew was the streets life, doing what I knew to do best. And that led me going to jail this last time. And I'm sitting in the jail cell, got on my knees and cried out to the Lord. I said, "You got to get me out of this. I no longer want to do this. Like, I'm tired of living this sinful life. I've tried every way possible to make a living. None of it worked." I said, "Just show me what I need to do. Guide me. Please, just take over." And I tried to bond out. You know, the Lord said, "No, you ain't getting out of that one." So I'm sitting there, and I kept seeing on the tablet, Teen Challenge kept popping up. And I'm like, "But you got to have a lawyer for this," because I was still fighting a case at the time. So I tried every rehab possible. Won't none of you take them? Won't none of the rehabs take me, because I wasn't sentenced and I haven't been indicted? Teen Challenge, the only one said, "Come on, we got you. We'll take you." And when I come to Teen Challenge, did I realize how very little I actually knew about the Lord. I knew some of his words, but I didn't know him personally on a personal level. And because of that, I have grown a relationship with him. He's not only my best friend, but he's the father I've never had. So in saying that, I have been saved again. I have been brought back to Christ. And one of my life verses is actually become recent of mine, is Isaiah 6:8. "For then I heard the Lord's voice say, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I say, here am I, send me." And within that, I get the lucky opportunity to go to Hungry Horse, Montana. And I get to go help some kids, about 400 plus kids that don't get to have a, like me, never had a childhood. Just, it's been all bad. So I get to connect with them and get, know pretty much where they're coming from. So I feel like the Lord's calling me, and I say, "Well, here I am, send me."
Man, I'll tell you, nothing just impacts my heart more than just hearing men talk about how God has pulled them out of that muck and mire, the difficulties of their life, set them up on the rock, and set them free. And that's a testimony that each one of these men have, and each one of these men are able to share with the people that they come in contact with now going forward, because they have a real relationship with the Lord. That's where the rubber meets the road, right? It's you know, it's great to know God's word. It's great to be able to recite scripture. But if you don't have a relationship with him, none of that matters. None of that matters. And that's where so many of these men are figuring out, that's where the change really happens, when you have that relationship. You know, it's just such a blessing to be able to be in this environment, in especially here in Clarksville. As a community, not just Second Mile, but as a community of all the churches we go visit, there's always that love of Christ being poured out to these men. And that changes everything for them. It changed everything for me. When I came into this program, I didn't even know what love was. I thought I did. I had a son, had a wife, had family. But they couldn't provide the love that Christ can provide to me. That's what we need, that kind of love, that agape love, the love only He can give. And when we find that, that's when we find, I think, our true identity in Him. To be able to share that love with others and to be able to promote what Christ can do in our life and the people around us. That's the power of Jesus Christ in our life. And I'm just so thankful that you all let us come share today. Pastor Cal, thank you so much. Second Mile, thank you so much. You all have been great supporters of us. Come visit us at our thrift store if you get time. I think everybody's familiar right across from the post office on Wilmer Rudolph. We have the guys who are doing car wash to help bring money into the ministry, to help support the next generation of men that come through here to find salvation. So please come visit us there. Come talk to us. Come meet the guys before you leave. We're just very thankful for everything that y'all are doing here at Second Mile, Pastor Cal, and we're thankful for letting us share. Thank y'all very much.
Great job, brother.
Thank you,
brother.
Love you.
Love you. Hallelujah. If you've never been out to the facility on Wilmer Rudolph Boulevard, I encourage you to go visit. And the thrift store and the car wash is right out there on the main drag. So y'all, and I really don't have the words to say this morning, but they preached the sermon today. They have preached the message today. And in just a minute, we're going to take up a great love offering for them. But before we do that, I heard one word from all of these guys, and it's the word relationship. In this country that we live in, with the church on every corner and Bibles in every house and da-da-da, and religions all over the social media and TV, but religion will leave you just dead as a doornail. It won't do anything for you. What you need is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you may not have grown up in an abusive home. You may be here and you don't struggle with alcohol and drugs and other things. But I want to tell you, we're all in the same boat. Every single one of us are a mess. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a mess. We are. Sin has done a number on all of us. Sin has done a number on all of us. And God's holy. He's righteous. And He hates sin, but hallelujah, He loves the sinner. And so, what God did before the world was even created, He decided to send a rescue package. And that rescue package is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus came to this world. Can you imagine leaving the splendor and the majesty and the glory of heaven and coming here? Oh my goodness. But that's what He did. And I don't totally understand all of this, but Jesus is like us, but He's not like us. He was totally a human being, but He was also totally and fully God. There's only been one immaculate conception, and it was Jesus. The Holy Spirit touched the womb of Mary, and that's how He was able to live a holy, perfect, never did sin. That's how He was able to pay for the price of all of us. You know, Jesus, at the age of 33, after He lived this perfect life and lived up to all of God's standards, died on an old Roman cross. He became the sacrifice for our sin. He paid the price for all my sin. Every lie I've ever told, every greedy, jealous thought that I've ever had, anything that I've ever done wrong, Jesus paid it all with His blood. But here's the deal. He did die. We believe in the crucifixion as we sang. But Jesus did not stay dead. Do you know why they haven't been able to find the bones of Jesus? Because He was raised from the grave 3 days later. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the game changer. And I don't know how you all feel, but I'm going to go with the one who got up from the grave never to die again. And He is alive. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. He's changed my life, just like He's changing these lives. And by the way, my family's here, and they can tell you that God's not done with me yet. He's still changing me day in and day out through Scripture and through the Word, through the Spirit that lives within me. God's still changing me. But I can tell you this, I've got peace that passes all understanding. If I were to die up here on this platform immediately, my spirit, everything that makes me Cal Hampton, would be ushered into the presence of Almighty God. I've got peace. And I've got purpose. I know why I'm here. I know why God put me here, to give Him honor and praise and glory with my life. And God's got a purpose for everybody in here. Everybody in here, God, you're not some accident. God loves you. You can't do anything that'll make God love you any more than He does right now. God loves you. For God so loved the world. You could put your name right in there. God loves you so much that He sent Jesus to pay the sin debt for you. And hallelujah, He is alive forevermore. And Teen Challenge, guys, let me tell you, y'all got somebody better than us praying for you. Jesus is praying for you. And if you got Him interceding on your behalf, how can you lose? You've got His Spirit, and you've got Him at the right hand of the throne of God praying for you. So here I've said all of that to say this today. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Bible says every knee will bow. Of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, you're going to confess that He's Lord sooner or later. And I want to tell you, if you wait till later, it'll be too late. So today, God brought you here so that you might receive Christ. And I'm going to just lay it out real simple for you. Here's what you simply need to do. The distance from heaven to hell is about 18 inches. Right here to right here. If you believe and know and understand that you're a sinner, I think all of us understand that. And you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that He died for you and paid the price for every single thing you've ever done wrong so that you could be set free. If you would, by faith, turn everything that you are over to everything that He is and receive Him as your Lord, your boss, numero uno, He will send His Spirit to take up residence in your heart and life, and He will forgive you. And He'll give you all these things that these guys have been talking about today. If He'll take me, He'll take anybody. And He'll receive you. But you see, Jesus is a gentleman. He is not going to knock that door down that gets into your heart. You've got to open the door and allow Him to come in. And you do that by faith, knowing that He will save you. Andrew, you come. Every head bowed, every eye closed. There you go. Okay. If you're here this morning, we want to make it easy as possible for you. If you're here this morning and you'd like to have what we've been talking about, you'd like to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, in your own words, right there in your pew, right there where you sit, if you'll just surrender your heart and life to Christ, ask Him to forgive you, and submit, yield, surrender control of your life to Him, He will save you right where you sit. And then you begin this new life in Christ. It begins with baptism, begins with getting in church, getting in God's Word, praying, hanging out with your brothers and sisters in Christ, and sharing your faith like these guys do at the mall every Wednesday. If you want that life that only God can give you, I want you to pray right now where you sit. Just pray, Lord. That's right, in your heart. You don't have to pray it out loud, but God knows your heart. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And I know my sin has separated me from you. But I know you love me. And as best I understand it right now, I turn from me and myself, and I turn to Jesus as my only means of salvation. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for investing in my life. I'm going to live for you by the power of the Spirit of God all the rest of my days. Thank you, Lord, that I now have you. If you prayed that way with a repentant, broken, contrite spirit, I believe you just received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And we're not going to ask you to come and sing a song. We're going to ask you to pray. We're not going to ask you to do anything. All we're going to ask you is you to just stand and get up and come forward. And we want to pray over you and put some things in your hands that will help you to get started right. I'm not asking you to join the church. Not yet. I'm asking you to take your stand for Jesus here today. That's what these young men have done. They've taken their stand for Christ. And we're asking you to take your stand right now. And so we're going to sing an invitational hymn, a hymn of response. We're going to ask you to just get up out of your seat and come to this altar. And there'll be people here to receive you. There'll be men and women here to pray over you and give you what you need to get started in your new life with Christ. Father, bless this time together. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand quietly and sing.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.